Right now, we're going to talk about the election results. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Welcome to Vocal Point. Our guest for this segment is Dr. Michael Brown, as in Ask Dr. Michael Brown. And what's your website, Michael, for more information?
AskDrBrown.org, A-S-K-D-R-Brown.org.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the election results? Did Christians in any way, well, of course we did, make a difference for the election of Donald Trump and all the down-ballot voting as well?
Yeah, there's no question that conservative Christians made a major impact. George Barna had an article the day after the election where he spoke about the impact on evangelical voters. Tony Campolo, who at best would be a left-wing evangelical, perhaps not even an evangelical anymore, said that this could be the last hurrah of the white male evangelicals, or showing a resurgence of influence. But what's clear to me is this. This happened by the hand of God. There is no logical way that Donald Trump should be the president of the United States. When Ann Coulter on Bill Maher 18 months ago was asked, who is the candidate most likely to win? She said, of the declared Republican candidates, they said yes. She said, Donald Trump. And the audience howled with laughter. And I would have been laughing along with them. You know, it seemed completely unlikely. You've got a reality TV star, you know, playboy, entrepreneur, narcissist with all this baggage, married three times and on, no political experience, no campaign infrastructure. And who's he against? He's against governors like Jeb Bush and Chris Christie and Scott Walker and John Kasich. He's against senators like Rick Santorum and Marco Rubio and Senator Cruz. He's against attractive outsiders like Carly Fiorina and Ben Carson. And he handily wins the Republican nomination. And then he defeats the Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton political machine with its vast power and influence. He defeats the mainstream media, which was overwhelmingly against him. He gets outspent 2-1. He makes enough mistakes to sink several candidates. I have to look at this as the hand of God. And there were people who had a sense that God was raising up Donald Trump as a divine wrecking ball to wreak havoc on the PC establishment. And I believe those insights are true. And that to me means we need to be really in prayer that there would be divine restraint on this divine wrecking ball, because Donald Trump could do a lot of good. He could also do a lot of harm. And I believe we have a respite in the church with religious liberties and things like that, potential Supreme Court appointees. We need to pray just as urgently as if Hillary Clinton was elected, and that's something many of us did not want to see. We've got to pray just as urgently with President-elect Trump, but I do believe the hand of God is significantly involved in this.
Is that phrase, divine wrecking ball, is that new with you, or what? I've never heard that before.
It was not original with me. Dr. Lance Wallnau, he's a Christian leader and thought coach, things like that. It thinks outside of the box a lot. He was at a meeting with Donald Trump and other Christian leaders and felt prompted to read to him from Isaiah 45, where God raises up Cyrus. He didn't even know what was in the passage. He just felt prompted, read from Isaiah 45 to Donald Trump. And he begins reading it. It's about Cyrus, who was a pagan king, an idol worshiper, whom God used to bless the nation of Israel. And it says, even though Cyrus didn't know the Lord. And then Lance Wallnau wrote a book called God's Chaos Candidate. That's how he referred to Donald Trump. He said, Isaiah 45, Trump will be the 45th president of the United States if he gets elected. And he used the word a divine wrecking ball. And I've then taken it up and said, look at the various things that have been smashed. The political establishment, the reliability of the polls, the status quo of the Washington elites, the mainstream media. I mean, it's extraordinary to see what's happened.
Okay, a comment about Christians showing up to vote this time around.
Yeah, on the one hand, it seems that there was not as much enthusiasm to get the vote out for either campaign. I believe that Donald Trump's votes were significantly lower than, say, George Bush in 2004. But apparently, Democrat voters had even less enthusiasm. The minorities didn't show up to vote as expected. I think the millennials didn't show up to vote as expected. And what seems to have pushed Donald Trump over was a lot of conservative Christians coming out to vote. And I think many he had a lot of reluctance about Donald Trump. We saw the character flaws. Perhaps it was hard for me to see past the serious rough edges and the damage that they could do. And, you know, the whole emphasis we put on candidates' character and integrity. And yet, as I saw Donald Trump surrounded by godly men for months now, mm-hmm. as I have dear friends who've been speaking into his life on a regular basis, and even though I don't really see change, they tell me he does listen. The fact that he chose Mike Pence
yeah.
as his running mate and has men like Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee around him, the fact he's talked about an attorney general, potentially Rudy Giuliani, the fact that he got his list of Supreme Court justices with the help of the Heritage Foundation, mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I think he's serious about these conservative values, and I think he does care about America. And I think he's even got a heart for the inner cities and sees how messed up things are mm-hmm. with our current policies. So that overcame my reluctance, and I think many Americans ultimately said it's either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, and we can't have Hillary Clinton, and therefore we're going to vote for her. I think if we had a more mainstream Democratic candidate, someone who wasn't so radical and didn't have as much baggage as Hillary Clinton, that the Christian vote might not have been as strong for Donald Trump. But with that alternative, people said, we're going to vote against her by voting for him.
Hmm. Yeah, one of the big stories was, especially after the Access Hollywood audio came out or whatever, and, you know, it was very embarrassing and so forth, and it's just shocking. It's like, who can support this? Well, you don't. You don't. You can't support this. But nonetheless, the evangelicals stayed with him. And then we were excoriated for being hypocritical on that. Your comments?
I think some deserve the rebuke of the world in that there was hypocrisy in that some evangelicals basically overlooked his shortcomings and these very serious flaws and the ugly past. And they made him into Saint Donald, some kind of a savior figure in this fine Christian man, as opposed to saying, okay, we know all the baggage is there. We know it.
Yeah.
When that horrific tape from 11 years ago came out, I was not the least bit surprised because that's exactly who I thought the man was at least 11 years ago.
Right.
Hopefully not today, but that's exactly who I thought he was. I wasn't surprised or distressed because that's what I factored into the equation. So evangelicals who said, look, we understand who we're dealing with. We understand we've got a guy that is anything but evangelical and anything but Christian and known for anything but character and integrity. But we believe right now we need kind of a general. You know, we need a guy. You know, if you're voting for someone that's going to blow up an enemy camp, you're not necessarily saying, okay, which person has been most faithful to his wife? Which person reads the Bible? You're saying, okay, which person is best equipped for military action right now? And I think that's how a lot of evangelicals looked at it. And I always respected that. Even when I endorsed Senator Cruz, I always respected evangelicals who said, we see all of his problems, we recognize them, but we think he's the kind of guy that could get things done and the kind of guy that could defeat Hillary Clinton. I had to respect that because they recognized the shortcomings. But evangelicals who just kind of fell in love with him and joined in his camp as if he was a fine Christian man, that I felt was shallow and hypocritical and therefore deserved some scorn from the nation.
And I remember you wrote some columns about that. But let's talk a little bit about other things related to the campaign, such as the fact that the Republicans retained the Senate and they retained the House. I was surprised about the Senate, actually.
Yeah, once I saw Donald Trump looking like he's going to make it, I thought, I think it's all going to go that way. I think the Senate and House will go that way as well. But candidly, Jerry, I hadn't followed that as carefully, and I didn't really know what the odds were. But when I saw everything going the opposite of what the mainstream media was expecting and the polls were expecting, an 82% chance of Hillary Clinton winning, and you know the best polling data, the most accurate saying this, when I saw that and Trump going against the grain, I thought, okay, this could all happen this way. And again, what that means, if we just think major things like tearing up the Iran deal and repealing and replacing Obamacare. And appointing a pro-life constitutional justices to the Supreme Court, you really have the opportunity for this to happen. Barack Obama did not have this much leeway. George Bush did not. In fact, normally you have some kind of counterbalance mm-hmm. where you don't have it all in one direction. This is highly unusual. And how much filibustering are the Democrats really going to do with one good candidate after another for the Supreme Court? I don't think it's going to work. And ultimately, this could really turn the tide in many ways. The church still has to be the church. I'm not looking to Donald Trump to do the church's work. But in terms of what a president could do, he has the opportunity to do a tremendous amount of good, and he won't be able to blame partisan politics on stopping him.
You know, it's interesting. The last time that I can think of where somebody had this kind of power was Bill Clinton in his first 2 years, because he had, remember, he had the House and the Senate, all Democrat, and then he tried to ram things through too fast, too quickly, such as the first thing out of the gate was, we've got to allow for gays in the military. And as you may recall, a lot of people in the nation were dealing with other much more pressing issues, and they were like, wait a minute, you know, and then the generals said, you know, let's have this other policy, don't ask, don't tell. And then remember Hillary Clinton tried to implement that whole Obamacare. And then in 1994, the voters pushed back. So anyway, I see a parallel there. But talking about other issues, comment on North Carolina, since that's where you're from, and that's where we've done some discussions in the past with you about the bathroom bill and the governor bill. And by the way, this is being recorded on Wednesday afternoon, and I guess this is a story that's not completely written or finished yet.
Yeah, as of late Wednesday afternoon, they are saying that although Cooper is ahead by a few thousand votes right now, that there's still absentee ballots and what are called provisional ballots that I'm not familiar with to be counted, and that will be done by November 18th. Attorney General Cooper basically declared victory, but now everyone is just waiting. The Charlotte Observer is saying it's too close to call. And what's interesting is that...
For those not familiar with the name Cooper, this is in reference to all the transgender bathrooms conflicts in North Carolina. Cooper is the one opposed to the more conservative, the governor, who's McCrory.
Yes.
And has McCrory conceded or no?
No. McCrory has not conceded.
So this is still in play.
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
It's still in play. And a few things. McCrory stood up against the federal government that tried to force these things on North Carolina.
Hollywood.
15-year-old girls to shower next to 15-year-old boys who identify as girls and want to play on the girls' sports team. He stood up against the sports world, the NBA, the NCAA. He stood up against the mainstream media, the powers of gay activism with massive funding. Attorney General Roy Cooper outspent him, what I understand, something like $21 million to $13
million. Wow.
And yet the vote is still a few thousand apart. So it seems that in that sense, the Trump coattails did work in North Carolina to a point. If there was a mandate, the state saying, we've had it, get rid of McCrory, we've had it with this HB2 and the reproach, it's made us the laughingstock of the nation. If there is a mandate, it's not clear, because despite being outspent this much, the race still remains close, even if McCrory loses. And in state, the House and Senate have remained Republican and strongly conservative. So even if Roy Cooper wanted to undo a lot of what McCrory did, I don't know how much power he'll have to do it. The odd thing, and I don't want to be conspiratorial, I was watching this carefully, and the race seesawed back and forth. And as around midnight, I would say that McCrory was up around 50,000 votes. And then I'm watching, you know, 11:30, 12, 12:30, 1 in the morning, I'm watching, and he stays up 50,000 votes. And then I came back later, and I saw he was down by 3,000. And apparently 90,000 votes were, quote, found somehow.
Ugh.
And the balance of those, the majority, was for Cooper, and that boosted him that difference. So, again, where did that come from? There's also talk about a major poll in a heavily Democratic area that stayed open an hour and a half late because of apparent technical problems. People are raising their eyebrows about that. But I don't want to be conspiratorial. I don't know what's happened. But either way, if McCrory manages to stay in, what a message it sends that you can stand up against the bullies.
Mm.
If Cooper wins, we cannot say that was a mandate to get rid of HB2 because the race is razor thin.
Dr. Michael Brown, thanks again for being with us for these election results. Again, the website is askdrbrown.org. Thank you and God bless.
God bless. Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye.